Welcome to another Love Vocals Nation, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes together with some of the music industry's biggest artists. Today, we are thrilled to introduce a true sensation in the world of music, a remarkable singer, songwriter, and guitarist coming all the way from the vibrant city of Newcastle. She has taken the industry by storm with her captivating lyrics and performances. With a broad history of working alongside artists such as Giuseppe Ottavani, Roger Shaw, Tritonal, and many more. Her voice possesses a unique and instantly recognizable quality that sets her apart. From gracing massive stages across Europe to opening the sensational Cosheen, this artist has left audience spellbound with her mesmerizing presence and undeniable talent. Join us as we explore her musical journey and uncover some of the biggest topics in the industry. Please give a warm welcome to Susie Lidge.
Welcome, Susie.
Welcome, Susie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome, Susie. So it's good to see you again. And thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm really good, thanks.
That's good.
I've just been to the beach, actually, for a dip in the sea. And it wasn't actually freezing cold. It was, we're in Newcastle here. So usually it's Baltic.
Yeah.
It was all really right. Nice.
Nice.
Are you from Newcastle?
Yes. Yeah. I'm born, grew up here, but I did move to London when I was in my early 20s and I lived there for like 13 years.
Oh, wow.
So my accent's not as strong as it maybe once was. I don't even know if it ever was that strong, but yeah, so it's a little bit diluted, but now and again it gets a bit Geordie.
I could hear that in your voice, actually. That's why I asked you. Wow,
yeah.
Very cool. So what's kind of it been like for you then, moving from London, which is the big music scene, back to Newcastle? What's that been like?
It's been great, actually. I mean, I think while I was down in London, Even before I moved to London, I always felt that I needed to be there. Like, I really wanted to experience living there anyway, because I went there as a child and I was just like, wow,
right.
What is this place? You know, I just thought I really want to experience living there. And I did. And it was a fantastic period of my life. But it was music that sort of drew me down there. I was working with some producers based in Bristol at the time, the Cosheen guys, sorry, you've already mentioned. So I was spending a lot of time writing songs down there, but moving back up to Newcastle, it was basically, I met my husband in London and we have a daughter.
Wow.
She was only two at the time. So living in London with a baby is difficult. And expensive. And our lives have changed, you know. It wasn't like it was. I mean, it's not a bad thing at all. It's just, it changed quite profoundly. Mm. And I just felt the pull back home, you know. My mom lives here and it's a slightly slower pace. And, you know, I missed so many aspects of Newcastle. Like, so friendly and cheaper than London as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I was worried a little bit that being up here might affect how things work within the music industry.
Right.
Just, you know, because London is the hub.
And right, yeah.
I thought, if I remove myself from London, is that going to affect things?
Yeah.
But it hasn't at all. I mean, I mean, I've always written songs on my own, you know. Mm. You know what it's like, you spend a lot of time on your own. I'm in this room so like most of my life writing songs. But the whole stepping into writing with other songwriters via Zoom, collaborating remotely, it's just now a thing. It's just now how it's done, right? So
yeah,
you don't have to be anywhere specific. Yeah, it helps sometimes if you
don't have to travel. Yeah,
exactly. You can be anywhere, and I love that. I really love that. So it's been a positive move.
That's good. Great. And I'm guessing as a family, it's really good to be near your parents, and you know your daughter to be near her grandparents. That's got to be good.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, my father's no longer with us, but my mum lives nearby, and she's, you know, she's very much a part of our close family. And my daughter loves spending time with her, and vice versa. So we're quite a small family, but it's so nice to have her nearby. And I don't regret it a bit. I do miss it, and I sort of look back, like, fondly on a lot of memories of, like, gigging around London. I used to do a lot of acoustic gigs, just me and my guitar. You know, the amount of nights, like, trekking on the tube on a Wednesday night, you know, and it's like chucking down with rain, freezing cold, and I'm carrying my guitar, and I get to the place and there's like three people there. Wow. And one of them's my mate, who's like come to support, you know, and it's like, oh God, I've done so many gigs like that. But I think we all have in
some point, and that's good. That's when you appreciate, you know, when you get a really big one, but also you appreciate where you come from.
Definitely. I think it's something you just got to go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you really appreciate the support, absolutely. Because,
you
know, on a cold, wet, dark evening, the last thing you really want to do is leave the house, especially in London when everywhere's like an hour away.
Right. Exactly.
So if someone's made the effort to come and see you, it's like, wow, thanks.
Yeah. You know,
Especially on a weekday.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
impressive.
Wow, I don't deserve this. What, three people?
I can imagine that you must miss some aspects of London. I mean, it is a real hub, and certainly if there's stuff one wants to go and see, or, you know, catch up, network with people, that is a great, you know, city to be in, for sure.
It is, definitely. And I love to go back. I would say I go back maybe 5-6 times a year. Luckily, I've still got friends that live there, so I can stay with them. And like, I'll go to the odd, like, mixer event, you know, like with one of the record labels, and, you know, it's nice to kind of dip in and dip back out.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Wow, very cool. So Susie, tell everyone about your musical journey. What's it been like? Where did you start, and how did you get to this place?
Well, I've always, since I can remember, I've always written songs. Like, I remember as a child, like, writing songs. I used to love watching, like, Top of the Pops. Like, it was my favorite night of the week when that was on, and it was so exciting to me. And, you know, there was always music playing in the house, and I don't know when it's kind of, I made a decision, like a subconscious decision, that this is what I want to do. I always was fascinated by pop songs, and like how anyone could write a song that gets played on the radio, and that if someone hears, even just if they're like passing, that they sing it, they're singing it for the rest of the day, you know? And it's like, how do people do that? What's the ingredients? What, you know, how do you write a pop song that's catchy and people love to sing it again and again? You know, I was just fascinated by it. And, my dad used to work away, he used to work overseas, and he always used to bring back like loads of like albums, like just random like albums of all sorts of different, you know, like, not necessarily stuff that I would normally listen to, but all genres. You just like, there you go, Susie, take your pick, you know. And I'd just be like listening to all, you know, and then I get fascinated with harmonies, and how do they record their voice more than once, and, you know, how do they, you know, it was just like, that was what I was into. And I used to kind of dream about performing pop songs on stage. I didn't know how I was going to do it, you know. I didn't know what the path was going to look like. I remember my dad entered me for some talent competition that was on like a Saturday morning show, and I was equal parts excited and thankful that he did it, but absolutely terrified.
I can imagine.
Even now, when I'm thinking about it, my heart's, I'm getting palpitations just thinking about I mean, I wanted to do it so badly, but I was just terrified. And it was like, I don't want to sing anyone else's songs, I want to write my own song. And I had this little keyboard, it was like a little Casio thing that was, you could barely hear the thing. And I remember my dad like taking me to the audition, and as soon as we walked in the place, it was like PA systems, like blasting music.
Wow.
And I was down there, and I had this little keyboard in my bag, and I'm like, they're never gonna hear it, you know.
Like,
I couldn't eat anything, and I had to wait like until like almost the end of the afternoon before I got my turn.
Yeah,
and I panicked. I thought, I can't play this little Casio thing, they're just not gonna hear it. And there was a piano on stage, and I'd only had like basic piano lessons.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I'm gonna use the piano. And there was like a boom mic in front of it. I was like, right. So I got up and I was shaking and I sang it, and I was just like literally just playing like octaves, you know, like just sang it. I came off stage, I was such a sense of relief. And I remember one of the judges, this young guy, came over, and he'd previously won it. He'd won the competition like the year before that, and he came home and he sort of put his arm around me and he said, you did really well.
Aww,
so I was just like, oh my god. And I said to my dad, do you think I got in? He was probably thinking, no chance.
That's
brilliant.
But I didn't get in, but I was just like, I was so relieved that I actually did it, you know.
Yeah.
But to me that was like, right, I've done that now. I need to write another song. And I don't know, it never left me. And and then when I was a teenager, I started a band with a friend, and we were just doing it for fun, but just really enjoyed the songwriting and playing guitar. And we played in lots of different places in Newcastle, and we even came down to London, played at the Rock Garden at Covent Garden. And I think that was the point when I decided I want to do this, like, seriously, like, I want this to be my job, you know?
Yeah.
But still didn't actually know how to do it. It was still like very much try this, try that, you know, talk to that person, send your music there, just see what happens.
Yeah.
Long story short, it kind of kicked off when I was I went to a Cosheen gig in Newcastle, and I knew someone who was a friend of a guy who played guitar when they did an acoustic session for Radio One. So it was like, I knew someone who knew the guitarist who played with them for a session.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They got us on the guest list for the gig, and then we watched the gig, and I was like, wow, they're amazing. I don't know if you've heard of them. They kind of dance slightly
jazzy.
And at the end of the gig, my friend went over to the band and said, thanks so much for putting us on the guest list, by the way. I'm a friend of Paul who played guitar with you. And they were like, oh yeah, Paul, come backstage, have a drink with us. And I was like, oh my god, we're going backstage. We sat backstage with them, and there was a guitar there, and I was chatting to the singer, and she was like, oh, so you're a singer songwriter as well. And we started chatting, had a bit of a sing song, played the guitar, swapped email addresses, and I started sending like demos to them.
Yeah. Just,
and didn't hear anything for a while, and then I got an email back from one of the guys saying, just been listening to your demo, really like your voice, would you be interested in working on some stuff with us? Come to Bristol to the studio and we can, you know, just try some stuff out. And I was like, oh my god, yeah, of course, yeah, I'd love to. So it kind of that's how it started, and that's how eventually I got the support slot on their tour around Europe a few years later. And it just kind of grew from there. They introduced me to other people who knew people in dance music, like Faithless and the guy who managed them. And it was just like through that, and before you know it, you know.
Connections, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So I'm curious story. Then.
It's a great
first story. Of all, I really love that the moment where you didn't, you know, you went through on the stage and you didn't go through to the next round or whatever, you didn't win. I love that it didn't define you as a artist, because when you get a no, either you can decide just to lay down and say like, well, that was it, or you'd be like, well, you know what, I can really do music, I know I can. So you just keep on going. So that's why I really like your story.
Yeah, I think that there was a point in my life where I tried to put it to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe all of us have had a moment like that in our careers where we just
thought, for sure.
I'm done. You know, it's like, It was actually the first time I went to London, and I got a bit of a shock because obviously you need a job, you need to pay your way to stay in London. And I got a job, office job, and it took up all of my time. And I didn't have any energy or even time to do music. And it, my guitar had been untouched for so long, and I was like, I can't even do it anymore. You know, and it was like, oh, that was that. It was nice, but it's over. And then almost like a sign, I think there was one day I was sitting in my office job and I got a phone call from a guy from up north who I can't even remember like the reason he called, but it was a he assumed I was still doing it. I think he might have been putting on like a local festival or something like that, and I was like, I'm not actually, you know. And he was like, what, really? I don't, and it really made me think, like, was that the right decision? You know, should I get back into it? And I thought, well, I don't love my job anyway. It's just a means to an end. So,
wow.
I think that was the moment where I decided I'm going to give it another shot. And
love it. I'm really glad you did, because we have so many amazing songs from you.
Oh, thanks.
I'm really curious. So, that was like the backstory, you know, of how you got started. But what was like, how did you get to your first release as a singer and songwriter?
I think it was when the first like sort of major milestone for me, like getting plays on Radio One, I'd say after the tour with Cosheen, like one of the songs I performed on stage was called Falling. And it was just a really simple finger picking song. It was the last song of my set every night. And Cosheen's singer Sean, she decided to come on stage and sing backing vocals out of the blue one night. She just came on, and everyone was like, "Woo!" You know, and she started harmonizing with me, and I was like standing there with my guitar, and she's like there, like singing into my microphone, just harmonizing. And then it became a bit of a thing. Like, we're going to do that every night now,
because
you know? It just worked.
Because it just works. Everyone was like, oh, cool, you know, this is unexpected. And decided after that I wanted to record it properly. So I recorded it, like, on my garage band.
Wow.
You know, that's how it's kind of started. I'm on Logic now, wow. But it took ages to get, because I'm not very good with tech, you know, it takes me a long time to learn stuff. But I recorded the vocal on GarageBand with just like finger picking guitar, recorded the demo, the simple Falling on guitar demo, and I sent it to a producer called Danny Dove, who had done a remix of another track that I'd done recently that got a lot of plays on what was Gaydar Radio, which is now Gaydio. It's called When You're Gone, and that was another song I used to play on the tour as well. So Falling and When You're Gone were my two strongest songs. So I did When You're Gone first, and that was recorded with a guy called Darren Stokes and a guy called Phil Larson, who I met on MySpace.
Oh, wow. I remember MySpace. Hang on,
was Darren Stokes, was that Tintin Out?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I've met Darren.
Yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah.
What happened then was one night I was on MySpace with a glass of wine, and I must have heard Tintin Out like playing somewhere, and I thought, oh my god, Tintin Out, I love that song. Always something there to remind me, I just love that song. So I looked him up, Tintin Out, then it was like Darren Stokes in one half of Tintin Out. So I just sent him a message saying something like, hey, I'm a singer-songwriter, we'd love to work with you on a song. And then obviously went to bed, completely forgot about it. Got a reply the next day from him saying, oh, just listen to that song When You're Gone, that's on your MySpace, would love to work on that if it's available. And I was like, yeah, great. So we met up, I think it was in Fulham, at a recording studio. I think it belonged to Rick Astley, I'm not sure, I feel like it was his. And we recorded it under the artist name M-Box and Susie Ledge. And it got a lot of plays on Gaydar Radio and Kiss FM, but it didn't quite make Radio One. But Danny Dove did a remix of that. So when I wrote Falling, I thought, oh, I might send it to Danny because he did such a great job remixing When You're Gone.
Yeah.
And him and another producer called Ben Preston, they created Falling, the dance progressive house version of whatever it's classed as now. Yeah. And that got quite a few plays on Radio 1. It didn't quite make the playlist, but it got about, I don't know, maybe 10 plays.
That's great, though.
So I was over the moon.
You must have been like, totally stoked at that.
Yeah,
I was. It was like, oh, wow. You know, when you have something like that, you're like, we need to do another one, you know. And you,
from there. And it just continue, yeah.
Let's keep going. But it was like, it was so hard to write another one that, you know. It
was as good. And, yeah, the pressure.
I
know that pressure.
Totally. And you know how, and Falling came so easily. Like, I wrote that in like half an hour, you know.
They're the best songs, Susie.
Really, I totally agree. The best songs you write in 5 minutes. Yeah. The other ones, well, you know, they might be good, but, you know, I have experience with just like going into a studio, boom, record 5 minutes and it's become something. And then other ones, I would sit like 6 months. I'm like, I don't know how to write this
music. You're so right.
Yeah.
And I think it's that because there's no pressure, there's no expectation. Mm. You know, I think I'd been out with my mate, we'd had a few drinks, I'd come home and I just sat with my guitar and it was just like ding, 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 ding. All in again. Okay, song done. Psh, go to bed. It was really one of those. I mean, they don't happen very often for me, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was very hard to write another one like that, and it took ages. I don't even know. It was just like just written so many, and yeah. But
wow.
Since then, I've had some more songs on Radio 1, but they were years later. But I think once you've had a taste.
That's it. But you get sucked into the music industry vacuum.
Yeah.
That is it.
Exactly.
You're in.
Susie, last time we hang out, we're actually backstage on the State of Trance in the Netherlands with Siskin. It was, I think, 5 a.m.
morning.
And we were like just having a little bit of a laugh. Yeah. I always seem to, you know, find you, you know, when I go to ADE, you're there, you're always there. So it's really good to see you.
It's so lush to see you because it's like, I remember the first time I went to ADE and I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
And it was a completely different experience the last time because you see people you've worked with, you see people that you've spoken to just remotely but never in person. And it was so nice.
That's why I love ADE and just like going to those events, it really means a lot. Like people maybe ask me as a singer and songwriter, how can you, you know, advance your career? I would say 80% is go to events, go to mingle, meet the people that you, you know, work with, because that would give you so much. Every time I've gone to ADE, it you know, brings me to another opportunity. And we met at ADE, I think for the first time also. And, you know, now we're sitting and talking and,
I know,
you know, building that relationship. And it's just
absolutely
brilliant.
I totally agree with you. Like, there's nothing like meeting someone face to face.
Yeah.
Because we all have like our sort of perceptions of what people might be like just based on what you see on social media.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and I get that because, you know, people are trying to, you know, showcase themselves and
absolutely, yeah.
But you know, when you meet people in person, I just think it breaks all the ice. Everyone, you have a laugh. I mean,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, making music should be fun. It's like when you're playing, you know, when you're feeling like this is fun. That's when some of the ideas come out. And so people should be allowed to have fun. And I think that like. If it's too serious, like, I don't know. It just kind of.
Yeah, it's not that fun anymore.
No, it's not. Yeah.
I totally agree.
And ADE was great. Like the whole songwriters get together and.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because you can just have little chats. I mean, I find myself not even talking about music half the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I was in the black hole mix, the pop-up shop, and I was chatting to Caroline about football for about an hour.
Yeah.
You know? It's just,
but you get to know the people, right, that you are working with. So that's why it's really important. And I would definitely advise anyone who's listening and want to try to have a career, both as a DJ producer or a singer-songwriter, go out there and mix and mingle and see where it takes you.
Definitely. I could not agree more. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So, Susie, your voice has been described as very soothing and instantly recognizable. How would you personally describe your unique sound and style as a singer and songwriter?
Oh, that's a hard question. Shouldn't be hard. I think it's taken me quite a long time to find my natural sound. I think the influences maybe of the genres I've been working in, I've been trying to maybe mold my vocal sound to certain tracks. But I think that only in the last few years I've actually relaxed into my voice, if you know what I mean. It's like I'm not trying to sound like anyone else. I know I'm not a belter, you know, I'm not one of these that can just belt out vocals. Mm-hmm. If I try, it just doesn't sound good.
Okay.
So I think that I embrace the intimate sound.
Yeah.
I know my comfortable key.
Yeah.
Feelers around the A minor.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like what you're saying, you know, that you're not a belter. I would definitely not call myself a belter either. I kind of had to, I know my limits as a singer, and I went to singing and songwriting schools back in the day, and they tried to push me into really uncomfortable situations. And one day I had to say, stop, let me show you what I can do, right? And then work
good for you
with the voice that I have.
Yeah.
And I love that you're saying the same, like you're using what you have, you know what you got, and you do it so well. It sounds amazing.
Thank
you're doing
you.
All the harmonies. It's so like soothing to your ear. I was listening to Kieran McCauley, one of the songs that you have done together, and I didn't even realize it was you, but I was
Oh,
that's such a nice song. And then I was like, who's the singer? And it was you. I was like, wow.
Oh, right. Oh, thank you.
Love it. Love your voice.
Someone said to me recently, I like your honesty in your voice, which I hadn't actually thought about. And I really appreciated that, because then I thought, I'm coming across as like I'm not trying to be anything else, which is what you know, I just want to sing it in my comfortable way. And I think that, you know, it's a bit like everyone's got their own opinion, you know, like how many times has someone said, oh, I heard a song the other day and it sounded just like you. And you're like, oh, who's that? You know, and you might have looked up that song and you thought, I wouldn't have said that was me. But
yeah, yes, exactly.
But, you know, it's like
I can relate.
People hear you as well. So I think I just try not to force my voice to sound something that isn't me.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
But I think that what I'm hearing you say is that you like to be authentic, and you like to have that own, your own identity. And that's what I'm hearing you saying, that I've just got into that. I've really kind of just started to
feel
this is who I am. This is Susie Ledge.
Absolutely. And I think that's also come with age and experience and meeting people in person. And I appreciate everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's on their own path, you know, and there's so much comparisons going on. I've done it myself, but I keep saying to myself, everyone's on their own path. Everyone's doing their own thing. You know, you can't do what they're doing. Or you feel uncomfortable doing what they're doing, but they can't do what you do. You know,
that's correct.
We all have something that's unique to ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that. I have to say, I'm a belter.
Oh, brilliant. I love a belter. Honestly, I love to hear that belter.
A belter. Oh, gosh. But I, actually, this brings me to an interesting point. Because you're typically known for the EDM sector, obviously. But when I was listening to your songs, and actually, I was listening to your most recent one with, is it Nico Zografos? Is that his name? Yeah.
Zografos,
Literally, I was thinking to myself, my goodness, these are songs that you could literally sit down and just play an acoustic guitar with and do a full acoustic set. Mm. And these are what typically... Back in the day when I played to work with producers, you say, these are real songs. And I actually, Susie, honestly, your songs are real songs. And I think they could be, you know, transferable to a lot of genres. What other genres do you enjoy playing in?
At the minute, especially, I'm really loving the kind of deep melodic house stuff. Like I had a track with a producer called Alex Cruz called Baby Girl. And
I heard it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just like a slower tempo.
Yeah. Beautiful.
His vibe is what he describes deep and sexy. And I like, that's great. He's got like his cowboy hat on. He's DJing. I've recently done another one with him, which is going to come out next month. And I'm really excited about it, but it's so not like anything else I've done, and it to me, I can imagine it. It almost sounds like a nursery rhyme. It's got a kind of children's television program feel about it.
Wow,
that might not be selling it, but it's to me, it's like a warm blanket. It feels like a comfort blanket.
I'm intrigued now,
but I just think, you know, do whatever you feel. You want to do in that moment. And, you know, like I've even had people say to me, why don't you have other aliases? You can have an alias for this style or an alias for that style. And I've been that very close to doing that. And then I just thought, but no, I want to do it. It's just another thing that I do. And I don't want Susie Ledge to be one style. You know, I want to be all styles. I want to do just whatever I feel like doing.
I love
that. I've been struggling with that myself. Because I do a lot of things, right? I do like uplifting trance, and then I do something like completely different where it's like so super progressive, or I go in and do a collab with somebody in the EDM.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been thinking, should I do different names? But I'm like, but I am so many things, you know, so I'll just keep it under my name, and it is what it is. You get what you get.
Exactly. No, I love that too. And you know what? I often think about, like Kate Bush, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've watched documentaries about her, and she could not give a flying frog's fat ass what anyone else thinks. She just does whatever she wants, and she does it to her, like, potential. Like, she reaches her peak in everything she does, and that she'll have a hit, a pop hit.
Yeah.
And then the next song will be so different.
Mm.
It's not like, oh, I need to do another one because that was so successful. She just does whatever she wants. And that is what people buy into with her, you know?
Yeah.
She's just so, like, I have nothing but admiration, and I'm in complete awe of her, you know? And I don't even like, there's a lot of stuff that she's done that was not really my cup of tea. But there's other stuff that I just think is mind-blowingly brilliant. And I love how she doesn't conform to anyone else. And the thing is, like, she started at such a young age and at a time when, you know, it was so different back then, you know?
Yeah.
In the early 80s, late 70s, whenever it was, when Wuthering Heights came out. I mean, she's just an absolute fucking goddess, you know? I mean, the fact that now you never even see her. She's just like, I'm not doing interviews. I'm not doing appearances,
I love that.
She's just
being herself, and that's probably the best way, because if you have to, I have to do that style that style, you're not really unlocking your full potential, I think.
Yeah.
But the more authentic you actually are, and just like stop thinking about that you want to do a hit and, you know, it has to be on that radio show or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, you know, go in the studio, play around, see what happens, and if you're lucky, it becomes a great hit. And but it's really authentic.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the best key word, play. It's like have fun, just play. Yeah, you know, with wild abandon.
Yeah,
just play around and see what happens.
Exactly.
And I think this is a really cool point, certainly from a vocalist songwriter's perspective. And as we're obviously sharing our thoughts and our tips and things for everyone listening, it's also important to mention that then on the more kind of outside business side of things, there is also an awful lot of pressure to conform. There's an awful lot of pressure to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get sucked into that.
Yeah.
Which usually means that they have to kind of sacrifice or give away parts of themselves in order to comply.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find that's for people listening, that is a crossroads, I think, that any vocalist songwriter comes to, where they do I comply? Do I be like Kate Bush and Susie Ledge and do my own thing? But you know, you really have to start, you know, soul searching a little bit, and say, what is it that I really, what is it that I want here? What's my end point?
Exactly.
You're right, and it's really hard. And I think we've all, you know, I know me especially. Yes, I can sit here and go do whatever you want and all that, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't a time when I was feeling like I had to do that, and you know, and it's taken me this journey to get to this point of realization and liberation.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was loads of times when I felt I had to listen to what other people were telling me was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you're young and you're naive, you want to learn. You don't know until you experience it.
Right.
And you have to also get burnt a few times as well. I mean,
yeah, unfortunately.
It's just, it's easy to say to young, you know, artists who are starting up, it's easy to say, you know, be yourself and be true to yourself and follow your dream. They sound cliches, but it's easy to get sucked in. And but I absolutely believe it. You have to be yourself. Yeah, listen. I mean, don't stick your hand over your ears and say la la la. You know, listen to what people say, but you don't have to do what people say.
I agree. No,
I totally agree. Yeah. I take some of that. Let's say people want me to do a specific thing or be in a certain way. I had working with managers before that said, like, well, you have to release more songs. And then other people say, but don't release too much songs.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I know. I was like, well, what is it? Like,
what is it I should be doing? Because I'm really confused now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people have different opinions of what you should and should not do. I think, do some soul searching. You know yourself what's right or what's wrong, and your fans will follow you anyway. So.
Yeah. And I think if your fans, they're not stupid, you know?
No.
They will buy into the people that they want to buy into, and they will unfollow the people that they think are just full of shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've got time to follow you. You know, just get out of my timeline.
Yeah.
It's like, I believe in everything that you're about. And yes, I might not love everything you do, but I believe in everything you're about, and I'm going to buy into you. It is about the human side of the songs as well. You know, it's not just, I mean, you can't just put, here's my latest single and expect everyone to just go, stop everything. I'm going to try and listen to me. You know,
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
But you've got to be honest with people, you know, And I love that, you know. I love people saying I'm having a shit day. I haven't written anything for weeks.
Happens to all of us.
Well, I've written this today. I'm actually really proud of it.
You know?
And then, you know, you'll get, it'll come, the support, it'll just be like, whoosh. So just be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, I could rant on and on.
I've not written properly for 10 years. Because I burn myself out. And literally, I got to a point where I just couldn't actually write at all. I just couldn't think about it or whatever. But just recently, I just started feeling like, you know, I'd like to do that again and get back into it again. I'm feeling, you know, my confidence starting to rise up again.
Right.
So I think just to kind of endorse what you've just said, you know, there are times when just don't sweat it. If suddenly there's a switch off point or a block point or an anything mm-hmm. point that just means you can't actually get it out. Sometimes you just have to be with that and be okay with it.
Yeah,
I have so many bad days where I would be like,
yeah,
I'm trying, you know, in the studio, but I've just become really angry with myself. So I'm like, you know what? I'll give up. I'll really give up. I'll try again another day and just watch some TV or go for a walk and listen to other music on the radio that I wouldn't even, you know, consider, you know, listen to otherwise.
Yeah.
And then suddenly one day, boom, the switch is back again. And then a song comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think also something that helped me hugely, about a year and a half ago, I went on my first ever songwriting retreat, which was in a place called Knoydart in Scotland, which you might know, actually, Antonia.
I don't actually. And I'm like, I've just kind of went, is this a regular thing up there?
I went on the second one ever, but it's still running. You should, I'll send you the link afterwards.
Please do. Yes, I'd love
it. It was amazing.
Sounds exciting.
Basically, it's a bit of a trek to get there, but that's part of what it's about. You're in the wilderness. I mean, you have to get to Glasgow, and then you get a train to Malig. Do you know Malig?
Is it on the west or the east side? Do you know?
I want to say west.
That's right. No, but it sounds like it might be west.
Yeah, we'll go with west.
Okay, west.
And then you get on a boat and you go, it's like a peninsula. It feels like you're on an island, but it's a peninsula.
Right.
And it's so like a half an hour boat ride from Malig to Knoydart. And you get there and they pick you up. And there's 11 songwriters. You pick you up in their 4x4s and they take you to this big house and you share a room. You're like twinned. They just put you with someone and they give you all your meals and it's beautiful food and you're in this house and you have two mentors. And the two mentors that I had was a guy called Paul Statham, who'd written songs with Dido, and he actually wrote Here With Me with Dido. And Shelley Poole, who used to be in a pop duo called Alicia's Attic, and she's written for Kylie, Janet Jackson, all sorts. And they've been friends for years. So they were like running the course. And it was my first experience of writing with people I didn't know. Like they'd set you a task and they'd say, right, go on off for 4 hours and find a space somewhere. Then say, you go with you, and meet back here at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And we'll all perform the songs that we've written.
Wow, that's so cool.
I love that.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, my heart was like, performing in front of even just like a dozen people. I was terrified, but I did it. And you were writing songs you've never like thought about writing before, because they would say, right, today we're going to do a murder ballad. And they'd play you some examples of what a murder ballad is.
What is that? Yeah.
It's a song about abuse and killing, or, you know. So you've got to write a song about like Nick Cave. And Kylie, is it the Wild Rose? They Call Me the Wild Rose. That's a murder ballad.
Wow.
So, and then in the evening, you just kind of with people of your tribe, and you have them sing songs in the sitting room. You're getting to know people like really, really closely. Like by the end of the week, you really, really feel like you've got like an extended family.
Wow, that's so cool.
And it was a bit of a breakthrough for me, like writing with other people. And since then, I've regularly have Zoom writing sessions with other writers, something I would have been probably too scared to do before. But everybody brings something different to the table, you know?
It's exactly. Like, I love those kind of things.
And when you hit that wall, you know, when you're like, stuck. Somewhere else pop up and go, what about this? And you're
exactly.
Like, oh, back on track again. And then you have a pretty song every single time, and it gives you that sense of accomplishment.
I love that.
So
that sounds really kind of therapeutic. And
sounds like heaven to me.
And but also in terms of, you know, kind of helping people grow.
Oh yeah.
You know, with their, not just with their writing, but just even being able to kind of do the co-writing collaboration thing.
Mm.
Definitely,
yeah.
I've done something similar, but it was like during the COVID time. I was invited for some boot camp online, obviously, which was really good and was super interesting. Also seeing how other people are writing. And, you know, the more people me and Antonia actually speak with, the more we find that a lot of people are pretty similar. But there's some people that would, you know, go in to, let's say, a web page, pick a word, and then be like, okay, I'm going to write about, I don't know, roses today. And then you have to build a whole story about that. I did not work like that before. So being on those kind of boot camps, it really like teaches you something new every time. I love that.
Yeah. And I think it gives you like some more tools to, you know, overcome those tricky stages in songs when you could have just like given up.
And yeah.
Like, I'm going to do it this way now and see if I can get things moving. And you've got some tools to draw on.
Yeah, exactly. So if I were a listener to this podcast right now and I would be a singer and songwriter, I would be like, hey, I want to be on that. You know, how do I get involved in those kind of boot camps? So do you have any tips and tricks for those who are interested being a part of something like that?
Well, I mean, you have to submit some demos of some of the stuff that you've written. I think part of that is because there's only a small amount of people on the retreat. They want to sort of make sure that everyone's of a similar level, or you know, so that the collaborations are more fitting. And I actually applied for a grant through the Arts Council England to cover the cost of my retreat. I'd never applied for a grant before. I just thought, it'll never work. I'll never get the money. I've never even contemplated it before. But while I registered my interest in this retreat, you know, I was getting the emails and newsletters, and one of them said, oh, by the way, the Arts Council are running, they're opening their funding for developing your creative practice. And so I had a look, and with the help of my husband, because He basically did it for me. I wrote everything down like in scrappy language, and he sort of made it sound nice. And, you know, you just got to put a plan together of the reasons that you're going on the retreat, what you want to get out of it, and what's maybe your 6-month goal. My goal at the time was just to write with other artists, to get over that kind of fear of writing with other people. And the end part was actually going to ADE in Amsterdam. So that was at the end of the 6 months. So I could then network, meet more people to potentially write with as well. And I got the funding for that.
Incredible. Congratulations.
That's really great. So what might be really neat after this is to maybe get some of the information and that we can actually put up.
That would be brilliant.
And so that people at least can go and look at it as a potential.
Yeah. I mean, they're setting up retreats for next year, I think. I've remained good friends with the woman who runs it, Janie. We became good friends since then. She's an amazing woman. I mean, she used her like career before that was all in short film production. She actually won a BAFTA for best short film.
Wow,
very cool.
Impressive.
I can't remember which year it was, but she's very much a, you know, she decides to do something and she goes ahead and does it, you know, no matter how hard it is, she gets it done. So we click quite quickly and we catch up every few weeks. And she was telling me the other day that they're booking in a couple more retreats for next year. So I will send you all the information.
Please do that, because actually your story is really inspiring me. And so this is really, really good. I like
it. It's inspiring you, yeah, then imagine all the listeners.
I know, exactly. So question, if someone can't get a grant, what kind of cost are people looking at for something like this?
Well, this one is quite expensive, but I feel it's worth every penny. I think it might be between 1,000 and 2,000.
Okay.
But everything's covered, you know, your meals and honestly, it was amazing. And I actually just had a writing session on Zoom just today, this morning, with a guy who I met on that course, Joe.
Oh, cool.
You know, and everyone's got their own story. You know, everyone's got their whole, like I was saying before, everyone's come from a completely different place in their lives. But we're all joined together with one common, you know, passion.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I was the only one coming from like a dance music sort of genre. There's a lot of like country, like folk.
Very cool. That's even more inspiring because
you're going to a fusion. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. You go to a different direction and you like find that you're actually good at something else as well. Maybe not just locking yourself into EDM.
Yeah. And actually, I don't know if you've spoken to her yet, Sue McLaren. I was telling her all about it when I came back, and her face was just like, I was like, it was amazing. Oh my God, Sue, you've got to go. And she went on it.
Oh, did she?
Months ago, they put another one on with the same two mentors, Shelley and Paul.
Ah.
Which also brings me to the whole Dido thing, because so meeting Paul, who was a co-writer on here with me. So I think it was the Thursday night, we had a night off. So we all went down the pub and played pool, and we were just sort of chatting. And I remember walking back to the house and chatting with Paul, and I was like, what was it like working with Dido? And, you know, he was just telling, this is the kind of stuff you don't get on emails and WhatsApp texts, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm talking about, being face to face. And
yeah,
telling me some interesting stories about working with her. And the final night of the week, they put a performance on in the local community center. So you perform the songs that you've written that week. They pick the best ones, and then you put a performance on, which is great. Everyone in the village, and they're so supportive, you know. And it's a lovely way to end the week.
Yeah.
And I sang with Shelley and Paul an acoustic version of "Here With Me," and a few people have come up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, think you did a great job, you sound a lot like Dido."
Yeah.
And weirdly, I had an email from Omar Sharif,
like, I wanted to ask about this,
asking if I would vocal "Here With Me," because he was doing a cover.
Yeah,
I was a little hesitant at first, but then I felt like it was serendipity, you know, the fact that I met Paul and sang the song with them. So when the label Future Sound of Egypt wanted to sign it, they said, oh, you know, we'll have to get clearance. So I sent a message to Paul and I just said, can you help us get clearance for the song? And he was like, yeah, sure. So he sent an email to Warner Chappell and everyone got on board with it. I mean, I know you don't always have to go down that road, but it was nice to know that everyone was happy enough for us to.
Exactly. That's
lovely.
That was like one of my questions for you today. Basically, I wanted to know the story because it's not easy to get something like that approved.
Yeah.
So hearing the story is super interesting. And it was actually like looking at Beatport's, your like top songs, that one is number one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. When you search on your name, that one is like the most bought and listened to at Beatport, at least. Yeah. So. And I listened to it and I was like, wow, it really sounds like Dido, but still you know, it sounds really good. It could be your song.
You know?
That's how good it is. Wow. Yeah. So well done.
Yeah, it was a funny one because I think Ali and Fila played it at a big festival in Manchester, and it was on YouTube, and all the comments underneath is like, Dido sounds great. Dido's perfect for trance music. Oh, this Dido, love this song. It was like Dido. I thought, oh my God. I hadn't expected that at all. I thought, what are they going to think when they find out it's me, you know?
Yeah. How did that make you feel though?
it was funny. I mean,
yeah.
It just made me laugh, really. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, to be compared to her, that's I've got no complaints at all. I used to love listening to that album, like when I was like still doing my acoustic gigs around London. It was around the time when she like sort of shot to like fame.
Yeah.
And I was sort of doing my acoustic gigs. And another sort of twist of fate, I got a job temporarily as a legal PA when I was in London, working for a music lawyer who was engaged to Dido.
Wow. Okay, so you all connected.
All roads go back to Dido.
It is. Yeah. It is funny. Like, she wrote White Flag about him.
Wow.
So, wow. You know what? I really want you and Dido on stage together. Just the harmonies would be like...
That'd be amazing.
Amazing, yeah. We need to make that happen, I think.
I don't even know what she's doing now. She might be another Kate Bush. She might have gone, you know...
Yeah, I haven't heard anything for a long time, but we hope to hear something soon.
She's still big, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, Susie, you have done around, I would say, over 53 releases, if not more, which is
really
a lot. Yeah. So how many of these songs that you release have you actually written yourself?
I want to say all of them.
Yeah.
At least I am a writer on all of them. I don't believe I've, apart from Here With Me, of course I didn't write that.
Yeah.
Again, it's like never say never. I always said I'm never doing covers.
Yeah.
So yeah, just don't ever say stuff like that. You never know what's going to come up. I think I've written everything, and obviously now I'm writing more with other writers. There's more recent releases that have got writers on board, but I don't know how many of those have actually been released yet, because there's definitely a lot in the pipeline. You know how it is sometimes when you've got loads of songs that are ready to go, but they're just not at that point yet. I've got a lot more on their way.
Yay, super exciting.
A real mishmash, all kinds, who cares.
Can't wait to hear those. Yeah. And do you ever write for other artists yourself?
I've got a session tomorrow with quite a well-known female vocalist, songwriter. So hopefully I'll be writing for her. But
yeah.
I don't want to say it yet, but I could say it as long as you don't put it in the...
Okay, who is it? Okay.
Different part of me. I know you're hurting deep inside. Give me a chance to make it right. Soon you'll see a different part of me. We'll be right back.
Turn these traces round.